This moment, Holy Spirit, come like fire. Set us ablaze so that our hearts might be warmed and we might hear and believe and live in faith as we live into the reality of being the people of Jesus. Show us Jesus. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. A tale from the archives of Israel's history. A tale from the twilight of the northern kingdom, Israel, Samaria. In those days, the Syrians, the Arameans, were the enemy. The Arameans, that northeastern kingdom filled with land pirates and buccaneers, the kind of people who would sneak across the river in the early morning, winding their way towards an unsuspecting village, the kind of people that would round the Sea of Galilee and pounce upon an unwary traveler. These were Israel's enemies, the Arameans, with swords between their teeth and destruction on their minds. They were death, sorrow. They were the enemy, ambushing, destroying, doing their best to cause Israel pain and also to fill their own coffers. But one day, their raids fail. One day, the ambush falls flat. The chief of the Arameans stomps and bellows, grunts, and throws out a huge wad of spit. Why? Somebody must be a traitor. Who has been telling them what we are planning? Oh, no, your majesty. No. It wasn't. Nobody's been tattling. No one's a traitor. No one's telling Israel. You see, there's this wizened old man who walks about Samaria. He travels the hills of Israel. A prophet. They call him Elisha. And God speaks to him like a little bird on the wind, telling him everything that happens, whatever you even do in your bedroom. That's the problem. More grunting, more sprayed spittle of anger. Assemble the team. Kill him. And so the Syrian commandos descend upon Dothan, the town where the prophet sleeps. But there, outside the door of the prophet's house, a miracle. A blistering, shining light like an unfolding star blinds them. The men find themselves scratching, tearing at their eyes. The swords dropped from between their teeth, their jaws gone slack. Can't see! I can't see! And then the squeak of the door next to them, a voice hailing them. You're on the wrong road. You're in the wrong city. I will take you to the man that you're looking for. And so 30 miles later, a whole day's worth of swift marching, hand on shoulder, hand on shoulder, hand on shoulder, mouths clogged with dust, eyes still seeing stars, the voice calls them to halt. They hear a whispered prayer, and then suddenly they can see again. And there stands that wizened old prophet, Elisha, their guide, and they are in Samaria, the capital city of Israel. Israelite warriors flank them on every side, swords drawn, eager looks of excitement on their faces. And beside the old prophet bounces the king of Israel, bouncing up and down on the balls of his feet, rubbing his hands together. The tables have turned, dogs. The tables have turned. You have hurt us, and you have dishonored us, and now. And the contempt drips from his words. And now, and he tugs at the sword on his belt. And now, it's time to get even. The Israelite king looks over at the old prophet with a bit of excitement, a bit of expectation. Shall I strike them, my father? Shall I strike them? No. That's not how God works. No. Feed them. Give them food to eat, water to drink, and send them on their way. The Israelite king is agape. The soldiers around the commandos drop their swords in disgust, but they obey. A feast is prepared. Roast lamb, roast beef, spiced wine, baked bread, set before Israel's enemies. And the enemies eat, they drink, they get up, they go home, and they never attack Israel again. Shall I strike them, my father? Shall I strike them? We've all been there. We've all felt that way. We've all bounced up and down on the balls of our feet, eager in that moment when our enemy stands before us, the enemy who has done us wrong, the enemy who has hurt us and dishonored us. And now the tables have turned. All right, dog, you have hurt me. And now it's time to get even. Shall I strike him, my father? Shall I strike her, my father? Shall I strike him? Maybe it's your coworker, your partner in business, the one who had agreed to the terms of the deal. You had been the one who had purchased the timber. You had been the one who had negotiated with the sawmill. His job was to haul the logs. But now, a month in, you find out he's been calling another sawmill, hauling them to another sawmill, cutting a new deal with a new price, and you're not part of it. Your friend. Now, the enemy. Shall I strike him, my father? Shall I strike him? Or maybe it's that person across the political aisle in this turbulent time. Maybe it's one of those damnable Democrats, one of those people who seek to bring us back into the USSR in our own country. Maybe it's one of those repulsive Republicans, one of those people who want a banana republic, a bit of fascism. Either way, shall I strike them, my father? Shall I strike them? Now, of course, we're not the only ones to bounce up and down on the balls of our feet, wanting to hurt those who have hurt us, those who have hurt our family, our country. The Roman Christians that Paul writes to have plenty of their own Arameans, practically buccaneers with knives between their teeth who come across the river and do them harm. Rome is not a safe place for Christians. Whether it is the hefty Roman soldier stretching out his palm, I hear the Scythians, you know, have been knocking over a few merchants in your district. I hit the wine merchant the other week and lost everything, and I wouldn't want that to happen to you, so the price has gone up for protection. Or maybe it is the bored magistrate scratching on his jaw. You Jews and you Jewish sects, always trouble, always a pain in my behind. Maybe a good beating will sort this out. Maybe that will finally calm all of you down. And then in some moment, the tables are turned and the Roman Christians are bouncing on the balls of their feet, rubbing their hands together. Shall I strike them, my father? Shall I strike them? Shall I get justice? No. This is not how God works. The Apostle Paul kneels with us in this moment agape at how God works. We read about how God works this morning in our gospel reading. If your enemy hungers, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. How does God work? He feeds us and gives us drink. He turns our water into wine. He comes to those who reject him, who refuse him. While we were enemies, Christ died for us. God comes to those who would nail him to a tree, and he feeds them. He feeds you, and he feeds me. We who so often still, even as Christians, are enemies of the cross. We who stumble. We who do horrible things. Jesus would feed us, his enemies. This is how God works. No. Don't get even. Give place to God's wrath. God will repay. Instead, writes the Apostle Paul, and of course here he is repeating and rephrasing the words of Jesus, love your enemies, do good to those who persecute you. Quoting from Proverbs, Paul writes, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him water. For when you do this, you will be heaping fiery coals on his head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil by means of the good. Shall I strike him, my father? Shall I strike him? No. Feed him. Feed your enemies. Give them to drink. Do good to those who would do you ill or have done you ill. And we stand there with mouths agape, still half tugging at our sword. What? Why? Because God in Christ has fed you. God feeds his enemies. He gives his enemies to drink again and again and again. And what he does is what you do. For you are his children, you are one with Jesus. And so now you are invited, called, commanded to love your enemies, to feed those who do you harm, to give them to drink. And so in this turbulent time, in this time when we all have our enemies, the people who rub us wrong, enemies all the way up from personal to statewide to national, can we give them food to eat, water, or maybe even wine to drink? Can we feed one of those damnable Democrats? Can we feed one of those rotten Republicans? Can we feed and give to drink our former friend, our co-worker who has undercut us in business? And so can we be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect, who brings sunshine and rain upon the just and on the unjust, the one who loves his enemies enough to die for them and to feed them with his very life. God feeds you so that you can feed your enemies. And that really is actually good news. That is the only way this dark world can survive. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.